When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I got Will Sommer on the line, I asked him to read me some product reviews. This is not normally his job. Will is a reporter for The Washington Post who covers media. And I asked him to read me two specific reviews from the website Reviewed, which is owned by the publisher Gannett. Two reviews which mysteriously appeared online last month. One is for scuba masks and the other is for drink tumblers. I guess let's start with scuba masks.
Sure, why not? Okay, before buying a scuba mask, there are several important factors to consider. The most crucial aspect of a scuba mask is the fit. It should create a watertight seal around your face without causing discomfort or pressure points. Okay, should we check the next one?
Yeah, let's do the next one.
When shopping for a tumbler, there are many factors to consider. The first thing you should think about is the material it's made of. Stainless steel is durable and great for keeping drinks hot or cold for a long time.
Even the most casual reader has got to notice that these two reviews sound awfully similar.
They open with both saying, you know, when you're going to buy something, here's some things to consider. And then, you know, but at the same time, just being absolutely contentless in a way of so many words, but having no sense that the person writing it, and I say person lightly here, has any experience with either the product or even like the real world in a way. Like it's just sort of from this completely contextless universe.
Most of the rest of the universe on Reviewed is discernibly human. That's the point of the site, to get the opinions of people who have tried out a product, tested it against a few other options, and chosen this one specifically, all to help you, the consumer, seeking an expert opinion.
Whereas with these reviews, you just never had a sense that this person or whoever's behind this copy has any sense of what they're talking about.
Now you're getting to the real question. Does it seem like these were written by a person?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, you know, for anyone who's been online, you know, particularly in the past year or so, as we've seen AI text generators like ChatGPT get really popular, this just has the feel of AI copy. It doesn't feel real. And, you know, the staff at Reviewed, the human staff, certainly felt the same way. It just feels like it's made by AI.
Today on the show, the mystery of the online reviews. Who wrote them? Was it AI? And if a computer was behind them, how much does it matter? I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket. So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
In the middle of October, the human employees at Reviewed noticed something odd. It was a Friday, they were getting ready for the weekend, and then a staffer realized something funny was happening on their site.
One staffer noticed that the website was filling up with articles that no one had approved, as far as they knew, and by writers that they had never, no one else knew. You know, it wasn't someone down the hall, it was just a name. And then they started saying, well, who are these people? You know, it's almost like aliens coming into their office or something. And they started Googling, you know, it would be like Jennifer Smith. I mean, they were real names with real backstories, and or one imagines their bios said they had families and hobbies and they had pictures of the writers. But when they started Googling the people, they couldn't find any evidence that they existed outside of these product reviews. You know, they didn't have LinkedIn pages. They didn't have other work. And so they started to think, you know, I don't think these are real people supposedly writing these articles.
You did some digging into these bylines, too, in your reporting. What did you find?
I fell down the rabbit hole. I started looking at these people, and their faces looked AI-generated as well. They all had kind of a similar blurry background, and they didn't have like some of the telltale signs of AI, which is like weird ears and stuff like that, but it just was weird to me. And they had, all the bios were in a similar, it was like, if he's not cooking for dinner, he enjoys like cleaning his bike. It was this kind of like this very similar syntax. And I thought, huh, that's odd. And so I Googled these people, and they had pretty specific names, and they said their cities. And so I looked in databases where, you know, journalists can look up people's addresses and phone numbers, and I couldn't find anyone in these towns with those names. So I started thinking, I think these people are fake. And then when I Googled some of their names, it brought me over to McClatchy, which, like Gannett, is a newspaper chain, and their own product review site, which had very similar, I think, fake people. And they all shared an email account, and they said, you know, you can email this writer if you have an issue with them, or just email this general email account. So I emailed all the writers on their personal email accounts. Guess what? The accounts don't exist. They all bounce back.
They bounce back?
Yeah. And so then I started to be like, oh, this is a whole network that goes both Gannett and McClatchy of these fake people with using these fake articles.
So I would imagine your next step is to reach out to these companies. What happened then?
So I said to Gannett, I said, look, you know, the staffers here suspect that these are AI-generated articles. And Gannett said, look, this is a third-party marketing service that we hired to basically generate more search traffic to our results and get more people to buy products through us. But the one thing we are clear on is that this is not AI-generated. And this is a company called Advon Commerce. But, you know, you don't say it's AI-generated because it's not. And I was saying, you know, look, this is clearly AI. And then I looked at this Advon Commerce site. You go to their website. We make AI stuff.
Yeah, it says it right there.
Right. You know, I listened to podcasts with the guy who created the company who says, like, AI is our thing. This is why this company exists. And then I got in a back and forth to the Gannett, and I said, I don't even think these people are real. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. They're real. In fact, here's a real guy. And I said, okay, this guy does work for Advon Commerce. He's a real guy. But on his LinkedIn page, his specialty is AI content and AI text. And so clearly, you know, he's a guy who does AI stuff. So they continue to insist that this was not produced by AI, but I have more than enough suspicions, I think.
Well, this isn't the first time that Gannett may or may not have experimented with AI. Earlier this year, they did try to use AI for sports coverage, right?
They did. They tried to automate a lot of high school sports recaps. And so my sense is that they would feed in the score afterwards and then say, perhaps, you know, I'm just speculating here, but something like write a story about this team beating this other team in basketball. But it generated these weird phrases that no human being, particularly one who follows sports, would write. And so it would say things like victorious on the field of football. I mean, and over and over and over in all these articles across the country. And so people quickly realized that this was being AI generated.
We reached out to Gannett to ask about the use of AI on Reviewed. And they told us that, quote, AI was not used. We will not comment further. how did the reviewed writers feel about all this? After all, you found out because they went to their union.
Yeah, I mean, they're not happy about it. I mean, the backstory is that this introduction of AI is coming as the writers are engaged in contract negotiations with Gannett. Gannett, you know, from the writers' perspective, has been blowing them off and refused to negotiate with them after they were unionized. And so they had a one-day walkout on Amazon Prime Day, which for these product review sites is a huge day because everyone's going, they want reviews, they want to see what's cheap on Amazon. And so presumably it cost Gannett some amount of money. And so then suddenly, just a couple weeks later, they realize that the management has brought in the robots to, you know, and not explicitly to replace them, but I think it's not unreasonable for them to suspect that Gannett says, well, you know, on one hand, we have these workers who are on the verge of a strike. On the other, we have this nearly free content.
When we come back, AI is bad for writers, but what about readers? This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you, fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. I want to tread carefully because Gannett has said to you, no, we are not doing this. But some other media companies have experimented with AI. I wonder if you could talk about the way that newsrooms or places that rely on human writers in the past have experimented with AI.
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of media companies have looked at AI as a way to reduce costs and whether that means reducing headcount. So for example, at Geo Media, which runs a lot of what we think of as the former Gawker-related sites like Kotaku or Gizmodo, they introduced AI content that would say, you know, like the top 10, like how to watch the Star Wars shows and movies in order. And it was just riddled with inaccuracies. And so, you know, all the Star Wars people were, oh, that's wrong, what have you. But look, you know, it's just a computer. It doesn't know better. But you know, it's this kind of thing to these experiments we're seeing to introduce content, AI content. And often they fail. But I think these experiments are happening because these companies are saying, well, maybe we could get this. Maybe we could cut our staff in half and have the rest produced by AI, perhaps.
I mean, look, it's not like I have no stake in this, right? I'm a journalist. I happen to think that humans produce good work product. But to, I guess, puncture my own assumptions a little bit, were these so bad, right? Like, is there a place for some newsrooms, please don't yell at me, listeners, to experiment with this?
You know, it's a good question. I think the way this was done, I mean, it, you know, I hate to rule out, you know, the use of AI at all. Although, I mean, frankly, I think the results suggest from all these experiments that it really is really bad for the product. I mean, even leaving aside journalists' own financial interests and continuing to have jobs, you know, in the case of Reviewed specifically, I mean, the reporters there were saying, look, this makes our site look crummy. It looks bad. It suggests that we aren't really doing the work that we are doing on a lot of these reviews. And it hurts the consumer. It hurts the reader.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to a site like Reviewed or like The Wirecutter, you expect that these people have at least some modicum of what they're of an idea of what they're talking about. Because, you know, if you just wanted an AI telling you, you just wouldn't bother to do it. You just go on Amazon and pick something. And so you're trying to get the best product. And I think when it's AI generated, that really is not happening.
Well, I think that's kind of what I wanted to get at here. Like, if you have no financial stake or
don't care whether or not someone like me, someone like you keeps a job, you do still probably want to know that your choice of toaster is being thought about carefully by someone who has tried 6 or 8 different toasters. And that's where I wonder if the leadership of companies that are experimenting with AI or machine learning have thought about what it means downstream for consumers. It's like, do we have any sense of that?
You know, I don't think we do. I mean, I think it's obviously been a terrible business environment for media since at least 2008 and before that. And just in the past couple of years, it's especially dire. And so I think there's a sense that these companies that, you know, they have to try something. You know, when you phrase these things as experiments, you know, and I certainly have as well, and these companies suggest that they're just experiments, that suggests that there's no harm. But I do think that there is genuine harm too in the case of Reviewed. I mean, people saw those reviews and, you know, these sites are hurt, I think. And, you know, people on the internet, the readers aren't dumb. You know, you get a sense of when quality is declining on a website. And eventually that kind of gets in your head as, you know, I'll just skip that website. You know, I'll go somewhere else.
Right. I, for example, could probably figure out for myself, tumblers are available in sizes from 8 ounces to 30 ounces or more. The type of lid on your tumbler is important. Yeah, no kidding, man. The type of lid on your tumbler is important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just garbage. I mean, it's essentially, and I think as we've seen, we've also seen Google search quality degrade. And so I feel that I'm just constantly ending up on these sites that I suspect are AI generated. And, you know, if you just, for example, my backup camera on my car has stopped working. So I looked it up and then it's just, oh, you know, it's important to have that or you're going to bump someone's car. You know, well, thank you. You know, I know that. So I'm trying to get it fixed, you know, but you just can't find real answers. And I think that's frustrating for people.
One of the things that made this such an interesting story when I read your piece was that Gannett was saying, no, we're not doing this, or that other organizations have experimented with AI without saying, this is what we're doing. Are there any rules in place that prevent a company like Gannett or McClatchy from publishing unmarked AI copy?
I don't believe there are legal rules in place. You know, you could imagine perhaps the FTC intervening at some point. Honestly, I think the best chance of the rules in the short term are coming from these contract negotiations with unions that are in media unions that are trying to limit AI content. And that's, you know, taking it back to Reviewed, that is one of their sticking points, is trying to control the use of AI content or limit it. And so, you know, it was especially ironic then that Gannett really rushed into that before getting that contract. But I do think it's, as a consumer, I mean, you are putting some amount of trust, particularly when it comes to product reviews, you're putting some amount of trust and, you know, actual money into what these reviews tell you to do. And so I do think it is deceptive to put out that these have genuinely been reviewed when they haven't been.
Well, I think that's also fascinating when you think about it, say, in the context of the Hollywood writer's strike, right? The writers won, I guess you could say, over the robots in their contract negotiations because it says, AI cannot be accredited writer. AI cannot be source material. You know, but this is ad hoc, kind of union by union or organization by organization in places that are ununionized.
Yeah, I mean, it really is the Wild West out there right now. I mean, you know, so many organizations, just taking media organizations alone, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find one that isn't experimenting in some way with AI. It reminds me of the start of the internet when you just had, you know, we have the working group looking into how we're going to use the internet and stuff. And it really is sort of, it's on a very ad hoc approach.
Do you expect to see more things like this in the next few years?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and you know, one thing I would say is I'm sure there's so much more AI content these news organizations are doing that we're not aware of. And maybe it's that it's so good that, you know, people haven't noticed it. But yeah, I mean, I think as AI production improves, I think the financial incentives are all there for the executives at these companies to push for more of it.
Why do big publishers do this? Because we've seen experiments like this in the past and the audience is often pretty negative.
Yeah, I mean, I think they imagine this world where, you know, they can replace some amount of their staff with AI or just pump out huge amounts of content for effectively free. And that's a hard bargain to ignore. I think the reality of it is, on the other hand, that I think it's just really crummy. You know, I mean, then that's kind of the bottom line is that you're not getting a one-for-one replacement. I mean, you're really getting garbage in exchange for ditching like actual quality human content.
Is there anything in the news business that AI is good at?
That is a great question. I think on the back end, a lot of websites have started using AI to like generate search terms and things to highlight so that they show up higher on Google. This is kind of more boring stuff. But I do think in terms of even, you know, in podcasting, I've talked to podcast producers who are doing that or in terms of their podcast descriptions. I mean, but I think when it comes to the real like meat and potatoes of journalism, of getting and finding facts and arraying it in a way for an audience, I really think AI is, you know, at least now doing a really terrible job of it.
Will Sommer, at least I assume you are Will Sommer and not a computer-generated version of yourself. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Will Sommer covers the media industry for The Washington Post. And that is it for the show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell and Anna Phillips. Our show is edited by Jonathan Fisher. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family, and we're also part of Future Tense, a partnership of Slate, Arizona State University, and New America. And if you're a fan of the show, I have a request for you. Join Slate Plus. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. All right, we'll be back next week with more episodes. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.